Now, we know nuance in our lives in different ways, and sometimes we don't notice it, that there's nuances between, you know, there's an idea that's, you know, this is similar but not quite the same, or there's a behavior or an action that, yeah, I saw what they did that looked similar to what I did but wasn't quite the same. There's differences. And the problem with these differences is that usually what happens is if there's, this is something that you're not supposed to do, and I know that, but then when I go and do it and someone says, hey, you did that, you weren't supposed to do it, and what do we often say? Well, that's just different. It's different. That was a different thing for me. And sometimes that could be true, but probably most of the time when we say that, it's different for me, it's probably not. Or when we look at somebody else who's doing that thing and we assume, when someone else says, well, maybe it's different, maybe, no, it's not different for that guy. We're very quick to say it's not different for him, but it's different for me. But it's true because we know that it is true that there's differences at times. Just like last week when I was sharing with you about confrontation, that yes, Jesus turned over the tables, but your circumstance when you're ready to throw over the tables because you lost that game, it's not quite the same thing. Have you ever wanted to throw over the table for something? Okay. It's probably nuance. It's probably not the same. There's a table there. There's something that's bothering you, but not quite the same thing. That's a difficult thing for a pastor to work with, because sometimes I'm telling you that something is wrong, and it generally is wrong, but then sometimes there's a nuance to it. For example, last week I was telling you that sometimes pastors preach in the flesh, and they get all worked up and fired up, and they come down hard on people. And then very shortly after that, I came down hard on you guys. And the question was I doing something that I just said not to do? Well, it's nuanced. I would like to say I'm sure that it's nuanced, that there is no flesh in that. But I'm humble enough to know, and I hope you're humble enough to know, that we miss it sometimes, do we not? There's nuances. It's the same with homosexuality or the LGBTQ community. We know, and we'll get to this very clearly next week, that there is a lifestyle that is sinful, that is what we ought not to do. But it's unfortunate that we take a very broad subject matter, and if you know anything about the LGBTQ community, it is a very broad category where you would think that they're all the same, but they're not all the same, which is very unfortunate that we do that. We do that a lot, don't we? You know, those people are from India, so they're all the same. I'd actually recently heard from someone who lived in Japan for a while that people in other countries do the same about us. Those Americans, they're all the same. Women, they're always the same. Men, they're all the same. We do that for some reason. But that's not real. You and I know that Americans are not all the same, right? Women, you know that women are not all the same. Men, you know that men are not all the same. Same with the LGBTQ community. They're not all the same. And we want to understand the nuance in there. One such nuance that is most concerning for me, and I believe for the Lord, is that we work so hard to make sure that we don't cross a line, and we work so hard that we make sure that we don't affirm somebody else crossing a line, that we forget thinking about another aspect of this issue. And that is, it's not just about making sure we stay morally upright. It's also about the way that I'm handling this relationship and this encounter with this person. Am I handling it in a way that I'm going to be able to still have some measure of influence in this person's life? I might have held the line, but have I held it so strongly or so boldly or so incorrectly or maybe so fleshly that now I can't speak into this life at all because of the way I handled it? Because we're so focused on the line and not focused on also the person that's before me that I need to try to win to Jesus. Because did you know that that person across from you that is in the LGBTQ community, whether they are living that lifestyle or they're just proponents of it, that person across from you is a human being that Jesus Christ lived and died for, and he wants them in the kingdom, and he wants the best for them as well. Did you know that? And I have to understand that reality that, yes, it's sin, but there are other things that are at play here as well. There are nuances to consider. And we want to keep in mind our two things as we press forward into this issue. our lines issue. Remember the lines that I need to understand? What lines do I not cross myself? And they are anything that is even the slightest personal conviction, do not cross that line. But if somebody else is crossing a personal conviction line, there's a certain way that I need to interact with that. I need to be gracious, I need to be understanding, I need to understand that that might not be an issue there and let them cross the line. I might talk with them softly and stuff, but there's a difference. Versus a clearly biblically mandated line in which I know I can't cross and I know that person can't cross either. But as last week we saw with dealing with confrontation, there is a certain way that you're supposed to handle that situation. Some of it is that typically it's a believer that you're supposed to have that conversation with about the line they just crossed, not the unbeliever. Also, there's the way you're carrying yourself and the way you're approaching that situation, because we can get it right. This is where it's nuanced. We can get it right. We confronted the right thing. We confronted the right person. We can confronted the right issue, but we did it terribly. And we want to make sure that we're, don't you want to know how Jesus today would have responded to the LGBTQ community? If Jesus was surrounded by the LGBTQ community, and I know that there's a lot of letters in there. That's kind of a mouthful sometimes, isn't it? And they're already always adding more letters to it. But how would Jesus respond to that today? Because again, we can understand that it's sinful and we can get that part, but how would Jesus react to that? And I believe that if we are the right kind of person, we're going to react the way Jesus did. Now, I'm going to give you a few references this morning that if you don't catch them, don't be alarmed. Because there's two reasons why you don't need to be alarmed. One, you know me, and you can ask me for them if you want them. Secondly, this is a two-parter that I hope will conclude next week. I will give you an outline for today and next week, next Sunday. So you will get the outline that has that also, so don't panic. I know anybody like me, you're a completion type person. I don't like it. Couldn't complete this thing. I didn't have this one reference. Well, you will have it. You will have it, all right? So the first thing we'll cover today, next week we'll cover the other two. What do I need to be? First, I need to be aware. What do I need to be aware of? One, I need to be aware of the nature of the conflict that we find ourselves in, because there is a conflict. We know that there is a political conflict over it, and it's kind of ebbed and flowed. We know that there's social conflict over it, and how do we respond? How do we view the conflict? Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, we have the warfare passage where Paul gives us all the elements that we're supposed to be using for spiritual warfare. Just before he tells us what the weapons are, he gives us an instruction that is very, very vital to understanding how to relate to people in the midst of the spiritual warfare. You want to know what that comment is that he made? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood." That means we do not fight against people. Did you know that? That person is not the bad guy. That person is not your enemy. Even that person in the LGBTQ community is not the one you're up against. Did you know that? And you might say, well, wait a minute, because next it says, but against the rulers, against the authorities. So maybe I can be against that politician or the police officer or someone else that's in authority. So he's telling me I can fight against people. Well, first of all, why would he say we don't wrestle against people, but we fight against people? It doesn't make sense. But also, why would he continue and say against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places? Did you know that the scriptures say that Jesus is the God of this world? That is, that he carries a lot of influence, unseen often, invisible often, but Satan carries a lot of influence in this world. And so when we fight, we're fighting against that, not the LGBTQ community, not the conservative politician or the liberal one, not the conservative Christian or the liberal one, not even the atheist, not even the secularist, not even the Muslim. There is not one human being that's the person we're fighting against. If it were so, then why would Paul say we do not wrestle against flesh and blood? The bad guy is not any person. The bad guy in this conflict is Satan and his demons. That's who the bad guy is. And you might say, but I don't understand, because there's God's team and there's Satan's team, and some people are on Satan's team, and some people are on God's team. So how can you say that there's no teams when there very clearly are teams? Did you know in Joshua chapter 5, in a moment in which it should have been abundantly clear that God was on a team, you know what happened? Joshua and the Israelites were getting prepared to conquer the promised land and go to war against people. And God told them to go to war against these people. And so when Joshua encountered an angel in verse 13 and 14, and the angel said, and Joshua said to the angel, you know what he asked him? He said, are you on our side or their side? And you know what the angel said? You would think the angel would say, well, I'm on Israel's side because Israel's God's people and they're doing what God told them to do. So of course he would say, I'm on Israel's side. You know what the angel said? I'm not for you or for them. What? The nation of Israel that's doing what God has told them to do is getting ready to conquer the promised land, and the angel is telling me that you're not on my team? I don't understand that. And so even the biblical characters didn't understand, but you need to understand, there are no teams in humanity. Did you know that? It's not my team and their team. It's not us versus them. That is not the way it is, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And you want to understand why it's important to know that? It's because if you, talking to that LGBTQ person, think that they're the bad guy, that they're the villain, how likely are they going to listen to you? How likely are they going to accept the gospel from you? How likely are they going to be persuaded by you that they should leave their lifestyle when everything about you is saying, you're the bad guy? We talk like they're the bad guy. We act like they're the bad guy. And we think that they're on an opposing team. They're not. Now, does that mean that we can't confront? Does that mean we don't deal with issues? Does that mean that we don't oppose? Does that mean we don't stand against things? No. But what we stand up against are the spiritual forces. We stand up against the enemy, and we stand up against sin, not the person. We have to understand this, because the church in many ways has gotten this wrong, that we've alienated people and pushed them out because we treated them like the bad guy. And how would you like it if whatever sin that you have, anybody know that you could probably right now name at least two or three sins that you're still kind of wrestling over? Anybody? Anybody with me? Nobody? Oh, I need to come to the altar. I'm the only one that has issues. How would you like it if your specific sin became the sin that marked you as the bad guy? If you have this sin, you're on that team, and we're against you. We must remind ourselves every time somebody completely infuriates us. Have you ever been infuriated with somebody? You really feel like someone's the bad guy? Whenever that happens, we need to remind ourselves, I do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That person is not my enemy. Some of the problem is because we know that we're in the midst of a conflict, don't we? It's amazing how in the world, true biblical ideas can surface. Do you know how many hero movies there are, and how many war movies there are, and how many conflict movies there are? And almost every movie has there's a bad guy and there's a good guy, and the good guy needs to overcome the bad guy. And you know where that comes from? That comes from all of us know that there is a good guy and a bad guy. There is a conflict. There is a fight. But we have the wrong enemy. The enemy is not the atheist, not the conservative, not the liberal, not the LGBTQ, not the Muslim, not any human being. If a human being is acting like they are on the enemy's team, it's because they either chose to give way to the flesh because they've been deceived themselves, but that does not make them the bad guy. You know what that makes them? That makes them the hostage that needs to be rescued, not the enemy. And if I'm going to be able to carry any measure of influence with those in the LGBTQ community, I need to stop seeing them as the bad guy. But I also need to be aware of the things that are happening around me. Matthew chapter 16, the first four verses, Jesus, I believe, talking with the Pharisees, but also others, he says to them, you know, you guys can look out there and figure out what the weather is going to be like soon. You guys can see what's coming by the things you're seeing. And yet, there are so many things that for some reason you can't foresee happening. Have you ever, this is the joke at my house that, you know, if there's a big glass of water in the middle of the table and Maria's near it, it's going to go everywhere if we don't take certain. I can see it happening. I can see it. And have you ever been that before where you could see the writing on the wall, something bad is about to happen and you can see it? And then other people are just dumbfounded, can't believe that it happened. And you think, how did you not see that? And this is Jesus with them the same way. Is what he was talking about is at least one, if not two things. One, you see all these miraculous things happening. You see all the things I'm doing, all the wise things I'm saying, and you can't see this is the Messiah right in front of my face and this is what is happening. If not possibly, secondly, it was that you see what's happening in the Roman government and you see the political zealots in the nation of Israel and you can't foresee that there's a problem coming your way. And he tells them to be alert. In fact, there are several verses. I have at least a few, which again, don't panic. If you don't catch them, you'll have the outline next week. Matthew 26:41, Luke 12:15, Ephesians 6:18, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, all talk about the need to be aware, to be alert, to be on guard, to see, to pay attention. Because there are things that we can do better if we see clearly. It's so much easier to find something in the corner of the room when there's a light on, isn't it? Have you ever tried to find something when it's dark and you have no light? It's very difficult. And sometimes you're looking all over the place and a light finally goes on and it's right in front of you. Because we need to be able to see to do the right thing and make the right choices. So what is it that we need to see? I want us to, for a moment, reflect through the nature of the conflict that we are in. This specific one between the evangelical Christians, typically conservative Christians, and the LGBTQ community, and those two groups don't like each other that much, do they? And we want to understand, where did this come from, and why is it there, and what's happening on both sides of that line when we know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So there's not actually teams, but there's a conflict. What is happening? Where did this come from? Now, if you are a history buff, you will probably correct my decade because I'm not sure exactly on the decade, but I want to say it's somewhere in the 80s. Anybody remember the 80s? 1980s? Hairy, scary hairdos back then? The 80s? Yeah, the 70s. So it might have surfaced in the 70s or the 60s. Also interesting dress and hairdo back then as well. But during that time, I think it was the 80s, is when the gay pride movement and the gay movement began to surface. What many people who were not in that lifestyle know is why it began to surface. Because it wasn't the beginning of people practicing homosexuality. It was happening before then. It was just happening in secret. People were keeping it private and hush-hush. So why did it all of a sudden start to surface? Now, we know that probably the enemy had a hand in that as well, but why did people start to think we need to do this? One of the reasons people thought we need to do this is because when someone was discovered to be a homosexual, and if you are on that side, as if there's a side, if you are for that community, understand that I'm just going to pretty much use those terms, but I know there's 300 different terms that could be used. So please give me some understanding with that. But what would begin to happen, or what was happening, is if someone was discovered to be gay or suspected to be gay, they would be harassed, they would be mistreated, they would be insulted. They would even at times be physically assaulted. There were even times where people were killed because someone discovered or even just assumed that they were that. And so at some point, people began to recognize this is wrong. And I want you to know something that is wrong. You know, none of us say that the gospel, we should string them up out to dry and we should beat the living daylights out of them. But back then, people were doing that. And you want to know why? Because in culture then, it wasn't just a sin. It meant there was something wrong with you, that you were so foul and so vile that you needed to be treated that way. That is not the way Jesus sees people. And so the gay movement, much like most things in society, began with a good cause, but had some taint in it also. And the reason why we need to understand that is because when we oppose the LGBTQ community, what's received on the other end is you are okay with people being treated that way. You might not mean it that way, but that's the way it's received. So we got to be careful the way we communicate to others that we're crystal clear what we're saying and what we're not saying, because it's very easy for us to send the wrong signals. Because those that are on the LGBTQ for side, they see it as a human rights issue. They don't see it as a sin issue. Are they wrong? Sure. In part, it is in part a human rights issue. But then what happened is that was so close in time to the race movement that if you remember the race movement, anybody remember the 60s? If you remember the race movement, a big portion of that was recognizing that I was born black. I can't do anything about that I was black. And so how can someone mistreat me because this is the way that I was born? So when the gay rights movement began, and they were very close to that, and they saw this as a human rights issue, what were some of the conclusions that began to happen? We were born this way, so how can you say that to us when we were born this way? And the reason why I have to understand that, and we'll work out all those issues. Next week, I'm going to answer the question, are you born that way or not? We'll talk about that. But the concern is that if you don't understand that that's what's on the other side, if you say it the wrong way, what you're saying to them is, I reject you. You're not saying you reject the sin. Now, does that mean we can't confront the sin? Does that mean we can't deal with that? No, but it means we need to deal with it very clearly. We need to deal with it the right way. And we need to understand that that's what they're hearing. That's not the right message, but that's what they're hearing. I've had conversations off and on with people that are in that community and had to make sure that they understood that I'm not saying that you're the bad guy. I'm not saying you're awful, especially if they're asking me what I think about it. But I am telling you that this is what the Word of God says about that behavior. And we have to be clear, because I don't think any of us want to be saying to people, we reject you as a human being and it's okay for us to assault you. Or am I right? So we have to understand that this is what is there. Also with the identity issue, we sometimes wonder how a gay character shows up in almost every movie and TV show and commercial. Have you ever wondered that before? Now be careful, because if you're watching things with other people and you don't know where their viewpoints are, if you act disgusted by that, you're not acting disgusted by the sin in that person's mind. You're acting disgusted by the individual themselves. And again, does that mean these viewpoints are correct? Doesn't mean that. It means I have to understand who I'm talking to, and I need to make sure that what I'm saying is making the point and conveying the message that I'm trying to convey. And so the reason why all those characters are there is the same reason why people started to try to make sure there was a black character in every show, was because they were trying to make sure that you understood that these are human beings. And it wasn't that there is necessarily a black person that shows up everywhere, but they wanted to make sure that you saw them as human. And so if the gay rights movement, if in their minds they are pushing for human rights, then that's why they're trying to put everybody in every show, is so that you can see that they're a human being and I shouldn't physically assault them. Now, is there more to it than that? Absolutely. But here's the thing. You and I know that every single person in movement is a mixed bag, isn't it? Is every Christian wonderful? Is every person that you know that says they're a follower of Jesus Christ a very nice human being? Does everything correctly? Has every right view? Agrees with you on everything? No, the Christian community is very much a mixed bag. Same with the LGBTQ community. You would be surprised to know that there are some in the LGBTQ community that was against the idea of legalizing gay marriage. You would be surprised to know that there are some in the LGBTQ community that are for religious freedom, even freedom to speak against homosexuality. You'll be surprised to know that there are some in the LGBTQ community that are conservative politically. And it's a shame that we often think, oh, if you're over there, then you believe this and you do this. And it's okay to know some generalities, but I have to always validate with that with every person. Did you know when I meet someone and they tell me they're a Christian, I don't assume that they believe all the same things I do. And we know that difference. Why? Because we are in the Christian community. We don't know the other because many of us are not in that community. Also, when they began to push to try to protect human rights, they began to develop a program that was became known by various names, but it was an anti-bullying program. And you need to know, especially those of you that are parents, that the vast majority of anti-bullying programs in the public school systems are very much inundated with promoting the LGBTQ community. You also need to know that before you become anti those programs, you have to remember that you're not only saying that you're against that lifestyle, but you're for bullying. And I know that that's not what you mean by that, but we need to understand that. See, Jesus says to be aware, and I need to be alert to know when I say the things that I'm saying, what does that mean to that person? So I need to be clear. You see why I give so many disclaimers in my life? Because there are so many ways that things could be taken the wrong way. Now, if the gay community saw themselves as a persecuted people group, and they begin to say, hey, we shouldn't be mistreated, and they begin to see strong opposition to that idea, what did that affirm in their minds? There are people out there that do hate us and do want to persecute us. And what does that do when someone feels like they are being persecuted? They dig in their heels and they fight more because they feel like they're stuck in a corner. And so when the Christian community and the conservative community came in and started fighting against that movement, and there were many reasons why that was right to do, when they began to resist that movement, then the other side just got more intense. And then when this side saw that, they got more intense. And then this side saw that and they got more intense. And where are we going to go from here? Because Paul, in the midst of that, is saying, I see how angry you are. I see how intense you are about this. I see how scared you are. But I am telling you, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm telling you, be aware that you might be on the right side, so to speak, and yet be doing things in a very fleshly way. We have to understand that community if I'm going to be able to do anything or have any opportunity to lead them to Christ and lead them out of a sinful lifestyle. We know that with other sins, but for some reason we don't know that with this sin. Now, if you are for the LGBTQ community and you wonder why the church opposes that so strongly, let me explain to you the Christian side. Now, don't amen me like crazy at this moment, because I know that this is most of your side, okay? But I also want you to see that when I explain this side, I want you to know that our sides are actually similar to theirs. We have similar patterns that they do. Not the same issues, not the same conclusions, but similar patterns. So, when homosexuality and the gay pride movement began to surface, the church saw that, and what the church was thinking is, I want to be faithful to Jesus Christ, and I want to be faithful to what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that is sinful, so I do not want to support that. Now, the LGBTQ community saw, you hate us. You want to assault us. You don't like us. You want to eliminate us from the planet. But that's not what most in the Christian community were thinking. They weren't thinking, I hate you. They weren't thinking, I dislike you. They weren't thinking, your sin's worse than mine. They were thinking, I do not want to approve of something that the Bible doesn't approve of. And so the church began to resist. And as the church began to resist, they noticed that certain things began to surface that made them ask the question, am I losing my religious freedom or freedoms in general? Because as the LGBTQ community is trying to push for human rights in their minds, as they're doing that, they're thinking that if you speak against them, then you're willing to do harm to them. You're willing to not let them get housing. You're willing to not let them get a job. And listen, no matter what your sin is, you should be able to buy a house. You should be able to get a car. You should be able to get a job and insurance, no matter what your sin is. I would hate that if I had any sin in my life, I couldn't own a home. Wouldn't you hate that? And so that should be the case. However, when the homosexual community began to respond to that, and they think we're hating, a lot of us are not hating you. I want you to know that. If you are here and you are for that, I want you to know that a lot of us are not hating you. We want to be faithful to the Word of God. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? How many times do you have conversations like this? These are the kind of conversations we need to have. That when someone is telling me, what do you think about this and why are you opposed to it? We need to explain to them in a very clear way. Also, remember how the gay community thought they were being persecuted, believed that they were, and there was, in some way, that was a reality. What do Christians think oftentimes? We're being persecuted. And so when we push back and the world pushes back at us, what do we think? We're being persecuted. The world is against us. And sometimes that's true, and sometimes that's not. Like I said, not everybody in the LGBTQ community wants you to get rid of your faith and stop obeying the Bible. Not everybody wants the churches to shut down. Not everybody on that side wants that. Not everybody's out to get you. Did you know that? Just because there is Alexa or Siri or Google on your phone doesn't mean the government cares to listen to your conversations. Well, but there's times that I say things controversial, so I know the government's listening to you. The odds of any of us here are important enough that the government cares to try to listen to us is very unlikely. But because there is a partial reality, because the Bible says the world will persecute us, right? That in this world we will have trouble and tribulation. If the world hated me, they will hate you, right? So because we are aware of that, we're afraid of that at times. And we think that any ill will, any movement coming our direction that doesn't look good, we think they're out to get us. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes that's not. And you and I need to make sure that we're not panicked all the time about being persecuted. Because Jesus never told us, when he told us to be aware, when he said that there, he wasn't telling them, be aware and you'll eliminate all persecution. He was saying, be aware so that you'll know what you're supposed to do when the persecution comes. When Jeremiah prophesied about the captivity, he wasn't telling them to be aware and do the right thing so that you'll stop the captivity, at least at a certain point. He wasn't saying that anymore. He was saying, be doing the right thing so that it doesn't get worse for you when the captivity comes. Do you remember in Jeremiah where some of the false prophets were saying, when the enemy comes, you fight against them? And Jeremiah was saying, no, you don't. You just give up. That was God's message at the time. And so our goal as Christians isn't to make sure we defeat and stop persecution. We just need to know what happens, what to do when it comes. Also, we have an issue as Christians because of what we're living in. I don't know if any of you know. Anybody watch movies? Anybody? Come on. Time to repent and confess. TV shows? Any of that stuff? Any of you ever watch things on a screen? You watch them? Okay. I don't know if you know this, but the ideas of the world sometimes get in our heads, and we're looking for the plainly obvious bad ones and missing the subtle ones. Because the message that is given to us, and we said this a moment ago, the message that is given to us is there is a bad guy, and there is a good guy, and there is a fight, and there is a danger, and there is a war that we're in the midst of, and everything's crisis moment. Don't you love watching the news? The news makes us feel like that. Everything's crisis! Everything's going to fall apart. Anybody remember, I was just talking to Bonnie about that scene in Monsters, Inc. Anybody ever seen Monsters, Inc.? Where the newscaster got on because in the monster world, there was a child that showed up, and the newscaster said, it is my professional opinion that now is the perfect time to panic. And he starts freaking out and panicking and those kind of things. And the world sows that into us. And because we see in the scripture that there is a bad guy, there is a good guy, and there is a war, we think that everything is a part of that war. Sometimes somebody said something to you just because they don't like you. Sometimes somebody said something to you just because you were being mean. Really? That happens sometimes? Someone's mean to me because I was being mean? Sometimes because you're prickly, that's why that person was prickly. Not every bad thing that happens to you is an attack from the enemy. I need to say that again. Not every bad thing that happens to you is an attack from the enemy. Not every sin that is committed around you and supported around you is an attack from the enemy against you. When Paul was sitting at the fire, a snake came out and latched onto his hand. Did you know who it was that thought that was a curse from God? It was the very strong, mature Christians, wasn't it? No, it was the pagans who thought that was a curse from God. We sometimes as Christians act like pagans. We're like, every bad thing is coming from the enemy, and everything that bad is, that happens means that I'm going to be under attack and the world's coming to get me. And we're not always in the midst of a fight. Did you know that? At least not the intensity that you think that you're in a fight against. And we need to understand that sometimes we're being provoked to respond to the LGBTQ community with everybody with like both fists going and ready to attack. And we need to understand that not everybody that we come across that is a person is that bad thing that we have in our minds. And again, like I said before, just like they're a mixed bag, you and I are a mixed bag. You don't get the same thing or the same message from every Christian because all of us are different because there are nuances. And I have to understand that. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Next week, I am almost certain we will finish this conversation and we will be on our way to talking about a couple other things before we get to your spiritual condition. We're going to deal with money. I'm going to tell you why you're having money problems and how you can be rich really quickly. So in the next couple weeks, if you want to find out the way to get rich quick, come and I will tell you all the secrets to gaining wealth. Actually, there's a bunch of different things that are going to be kind of funny working in that thing. Some of you are going to find out that you're your own worst enemy when it comes to money. Money affects us. We need to deal with that. Might deal with our relationships, and then we're going to get to our spirit, which is the most important thing, isn't it? But like I said when we started this series, it is so hard for you to actually, honestly, and with the right kind of attention, address your spiritual well-being if your physical well-being and emotional well-being isn't being dealt with also. Doesn't mean things need to be perfect, but I need to be able to address that in myself and others. If I'm going to be able to reach someone, whether in the LGBTQ community, whether they're in the conservative or liberal community, whether they're an atheist or a Muslim or whatever their faith is, if I'm going to be able to reach a person, I have to understand that person. When you see Jesus in the Gospels, you witness a man who got people. He understood them and he loved them and he did what they needed him to do. And then he brought the spiritual into the picture. And so I'm not going to give you a formal call to the altar this morning because, again, today was just more of I'm just talking with you this morning. But what I am going to ask you to do, and we're going to pray here as we conclude, is I want you to be asking yourself, am I a mixed bag? Is my pursuit that I'm pursuing also a mixed bag? I might have a lot of good things going in there. Might have a lot of good things going in my life. I might have figured out a lot of things. But are there some things in there that still need to be removed? I think some of us need surgery, do we not? And so let's make that our prayer. Lord, show me the things that need to get out of here, the things that are twisted in with the good. Help me to see how to get that out. Because I want to show to the world, not a political ideology, not a philosophy, not a movement. I want to show the world Jesus. That's who we're called to uplift. Lord Jesus, we ask you that you would help us to do that. Help us when we fight your battles to not look like the world when we do it. Help us, Lord, that when we approach a person, we don't see a target. We see someone made in the image of God. Help us, Lord, when we encounter someone who's behaving fleshly, to remember how fleshly we have been. We sang that a lot this morning. We observed that when we observed communion, that we recognize, boy, were we a mess, and at times still a mess. And so help us in that awareness to be able to do the right thing when we deal with the messiness in our world around us. Because, Lord, we don't want our voices to be silenced. We don't want the word of God to be hindered because we carried out spiritual things in fleshly ways. We want to be able to be the person who can say, I did the right thing. I did what Jesus showed me to do. I walked in step with the Spirit, and now look at the change that's happened in that person's life. Look at how different that person is. That person's exceeding where I am. And look at how much they love Jesus, and they're a part of the community, and we want to see that, Lord. And so we ask that you would help us to see that too. That we would not be so caught up at times in very simplistic thinking, and we would see things the way you see things. That we would understand the deeper things. That you would remove the scales from our eyes and help us to see and help us to be like Jesus. Lord, forgive me where I have failed, and there have been many. And help me to walk as a humble servant of Jesus Christ. Help all of us to do that. And may in the process, as we learn to serve you effectively and better, may we see a community that wants what we have. That when they see us, they want to come in. And when we go out to reach them, They want to be open to what we have to say about the gospel because we lived like Jesus, because we lived like the salt and the light of the world. Help us to do that, we ask for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, they're going to lead us as we go, but you're dismissed this morning. Thank you for being here this morning, and let's go and let's walk like Jesus did. Amen. God bless you.